Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Brought to you by Quick Assist. Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
Sports Radio 610, Houston Texans breaking news.
Yeah, let's get right into this. At Houston Texans on Twitter. That is a verified account, one that you can trust.
Is it real?
It is really Houston Texans.
We got to check.
I have checked. Lopez, you double-checking me on this?
I'm double-checking your word.
All right, we got the golden check, right?
This is officially official. Golden check, Houston Texans.
Houston Texans.
With the NFL logo as well. It's kind of crazy you have to do all these levels of checks nowadays.
2 million followers.
Okay, all right. So just so you know, this is that real. And I will read verbatim. Nico Collins has been designated for return to practice, and we have made another roster move. Whatever that roster move is, that's cool. Let's talk about the big thing.
Hallelujah and amen, right?
Nico Collins just designated for return. So first and foremost, let's ask the easy question. Do you think this means he will play on Sunday?
100%.
Yes.
100%. By the way, the corresponding move is Kenyon Green has been placed on the reserve injured list.
I did not think that was coming, did I?
Kenyon Green. That's the corresponding move. I want to say enormous. I mean, when you're facing the Lions, your back is up against the wall. You know, he has been the biggest game changer, not named Joe Mixon, and even in that argument, might be a bigger game changer. You know,
this is huge.
Yeah.
This is incredible because. He can almost, that's too much, right? Like, not single-handedly, but when it comes down to it, he gives you and he provides so many easy answers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that has been evident. That's one of the things that's placed a lot of pressure at the lap of Bobby Slowick is that the easy answers to Nico Collins went with that hamstring injury. Mm-hmm. And then it did not feel like the less easy answers were being put in the hands of CJ Stroud and the rest of this offense. Well, if you bring back some of the easy answers, that alleviates some of the issues. Now, Bobby Slowick still is going to have to draw some things up, like when it comes to being creative pressure-wise, maybe moving, putting C.J. Stroud more on the move, right? I know that in his availability yesterday, Bobby talked about the idea of, you know, using play action and then being high on the rates. I don't think next-gen stats supports that, and so maybe they need to try and get higher up on the rates of play action. But that's neither here nor there. I think if you do those things, all the moves that you do in trying to like fix this offense or give the offense better opportunity to succeed there's a force multiplier when Nico Collins is on the
field. That's a great way to put it, a force multiplier. So 1 hour ago, exactly, we were talking about, you guys excited about this game?
Buddy, the excitement level went to over 9,000.
Up there.
And I was like, yeah, they're playing. It's Sunday Night Football, but I'm kind of apprehensive. The update, Figgy, is...
Put it directly. I feel like something got shot into my veins, man. I feel different now.
Let's go.
The update is let's go. And the biggest reason is not like the obvious one necessarily. You know, that is the biggest reason. But beyond that, like, this is where the Lions have shown a little vulnerability.
Yeah.
You know, the yards per attempt is pretty high. In other words, they can be had deep.
100%.
Well, what does Nico Collins do? Pretty dang well. He'll stretch that defense.
Nico down there somewhere.
And what does it do for Tank Dell now all of a sudden in the secondary role? I mean, part of my apprehension is like, is Tank Dell, before Nico was activated, is Tank Dell going to back up a decent game with another big game that he would have to have? And I was like, I don't know. You know, the sample size has been up and down. What can you expect from Robert Woods, you know, who has 7 catches this year, I believe. Now, all of a sudden, Robert Woods looks a little better. Tank Dell looks little better. Joe Mixon looks a little better.
Yeah, everybody gets slotted into a place where there's a little less expected from them overall, and that they can probably handle just a little bit better. Plus, this is the thing about a wide receiver of the caliber, Nico Collins. They are something that the defense has to account for.
Yeah.
And that shifts everything, right? It's one of those things that I've had some conversations about when it comes to Amon-Ra St. Brown, is I don't view him as that necessarily. He's a very good wide receiver, don't get me wrong. Like, particularly out of the slot, he is tough. I don't know that he's one that forces the defense to change the way they go about things. Nico Collins is 100% that. And so, wow, what a boost this move provides if the assumptions that we are making are the ones that are actually going to happen, and that Nico Collins, if you missed the news, the breaking news on the moment is that Nico Collins has been designated to return from the injury report with the hamstring injury that he was dealing with. And so that seems to lead to the idea that, one, he will practice today as they practice indoors at NRG Stadium, and two, he will play Sunday Night Football at NRG versus the Lions.
And then throw another little layer onto this that's going to help C.J. Stroud, Nico Collins, Joe Mixon, and those receivers I just mentioned. We talked about this an hour ago, too. Or recently, if the line is just okay, they get a lot better.
Absolutely,
they get a lot better if they're just not a net negative. If they lose their share, which you're going to lose your share against the Lions pass rush and defensive front, especially now that it's been bolstered, but not get destroyed. This offense all of a sudden elevates to something that even without Stephon Diggs becomes a much bigger threat. And a much better opportunity to maybe win this game.
I'm interested in seeing how quickly lines move, because I want to see what this particular news does to the line. I think we had gotten to a point where this game was -3.5 in the favor of the Detroit Lions. I want to see what in the next, I don't know, few hours or whatever, where that line moves to, and just how much of an impact Vegas believes Nico Collins makes on the potential outcome of this game versus the Lions.
I am looking right now. It's still 3.5, but as you said, give it a half hour or an hour. Let's see.
Let's go around the NFL, which is brought to you by Quick Assist. Mm-hmm. If you're tired of the hassle of selling your tickets, say goodbye to the stress and let experts get you the best price. Download Quick Assist from your app store today, and they'll handle the rest. That's QUICKASYST, Quick Assist. Your ticket everywhere. Just one more time, if you were not listening a few minutes ago, the breaking news that happens for your Texans is that Nico Collins has been designated for return from the injured reserve. He was on the injured reserve dealing with that hamstring injury. And so 5 weeks is all it took. And now here he is returning to play, in theory, to play for your Texans. Now, I guess it is not 100% that he ultimately plays, but then I don't understand why you ultimately make that decision to designate him for return if he does not play.
No, he'll play.
On Sunday. Another thing, and maybe from the 832, some people were theorized that the line was only -3.5 because Vegas knew Nico was going
to
play.
They tend to know those things.
It did start at -5, right? Like, it was a point and a half more. So if you are in that place where the assumption is that it's 1.5 points for Nico Collins alone, that's also still something that's notable for your Texans. Another thing that's notable for your Texans, it's kind of funny. This was going to be, this is really interesting news. That got blown out of the water by Nico coming back. However, there's a new captain in town, and his name is Joe Mixon. That's right. Joe Mixon has been named now as one of the new starters for your Houston Texans. He takes the place of voted starter Stephon Diggs. Obviously, Stephon Diggs was lost for the season. And so Joe Mixon gets to take that spot as a captain. And I'm kind of really excited about this, especially after C.J. Stroud had and can you get this for me? C.J. Stroud was kind of asked about Joe Mixon and kind of the energy and the positive energy and presence that he brings.
Yeah, I expected that. You know, I met Joe, you know, last year when we played him, and, you know, he had that dog mentality, you know, and, you know, he brought it here, you know, and that's something we needed for sure. You know, we needed. And one thing I love about Joe, Joe will call you out. Like, Joe will call me out. Joe will call his linemen out. Joe will call, you know, coaches out. He don't care, you know, and ultimately that's what you want because, you know, at the end of the day, like, we all came here for one common goal, and that's to win. And so, you know, if that's hurting somebody's feelings, you know, we grown men, we get paid to do this. So, you know, you got to be able to, you know, understand it, you know, take it for love because he really just cares about the game, you know. So, and he cares about his teams and his coaches. So, yeah, I love Joe.
The best thing I like about this is Joe Mixon deserves it. Obviously, he's been not just on the field, but you just heard C.J. Stroud talking about some of the, you know, the other aspects of his approach. But he's being named captain because Stephon Diggs is on injured reserve. Mm-hmm. Those two guys were the, you know, were brought in, and there was a certain amount of skepticism in terms of, like, what are they going to really bring? More so off the field with Stephon Diggs, those questions are answered. I mean, these guys are doing exactly what they were brought in to do.
Yeah, and it's been kind of thoughts that we've had about, hey, man, what, you know, leaders, who is in that locker room kind of being a leader and kind of giving some of those things. Joe Mixon being mic'd up, what was that, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
It gave you a little insight that he is kind of that leader guy, not just when it comes to just the general juice of it, right? Mm-hmm. He brings energy. He seemingly feels very comfortable being vocal with those guys. And so it's nice that you see the signal of that. The actual, you know, leadership is already happening, but the signal of that being the C on his chest, that he gets to have that as well. Some other things around the NFL is the Texans just completely dominated this segment, which I'm 100% cool with. Thursday night football, we got a fascinating one.
Terrific.
Down to the wire between the Baltimore Ravens and the Cincinnati Bengals, a division game, and it really delivered on Thursday night football more than a lot of Thursday night football games had. 35-34 was the final. I mean, what was the big thing for you outside of the 2-point conversion? Because there's a lot of things that you could turn to in this.
Jamar Chase, holy moly, that guy is doing Jerry Rice kind of stuff. Yeah, I mean, he is doing some
high praise,
incredible. Incredible thing.
Can you believe they did not pay that man yet?
Oh, they're going to pay him.
here's the thing.
Someone's going to pay him.
Hey, that's Cincinnati. Yeah. I don't know if they're going
to
pay him.
I've been amazed that the Cincinnati Bengals have gotten to the place where they started spending a little bit of money, because that is a notoriously cheap franchise.
Oh, big time. It's just a bad organization. No, his agent has the easiest job in America right now. I mean, there's no question about it. Second thing, before we get to the two-point conversion, Joe Burrow has destroyed the Ravens this year. Absolutely destroyed them and lost twice. He threw for 392 yards and I believe 5 touchdowns in the first outing, and 400 and something yards and 4 touchdowns in this outing. He's killing them and lost twice.
Yeah, he
I would ask for a trade if I was him,
my
man.
My gosh.
56 times, 428 yards and 4 touchdowns. 264 of those yards went to Jamar Chase with 3 touchdowns.
Doesn't matter.
And
I mean, Joe Burrow is just ridiculous.
Just cooking. And yet, they have been swept by the Baltimore Ravens this year.
He's had a season against the Ravens.
Somebody on the text line asked this, and it's a question worth asking. Who is better? Is it this 4-6 Bengals team or your 6-3 Houston Texans?
You know what my gut said? Just based on that.
Don't you say it, man.
I mean, hey, we're honest here. Like, just like eyeball test, Figgy. Eyeball test. Who's the better team?
I mean, you saw the way that the Cincinnati Bengals competed.
Well, who's the better quarterback?
I mean, it's arguable, but I'd say CJ Stroud. But what are the offenses doing? I just said the dude's had a season against one of the best teams, maybe the best team in the AFC. 9 touchdowns and over 800 yards passing.
Yeah, they started the season really poorly, losing 3 straight out the gate. But since they've really tried to steady the ship in some ways, now they've had some issues. They only put 17 points up on a Giants team at MetLife Stadium that you probably should be able to, you know, really handle up. They've had some ups and downs. We might be really being prisoners of the moment after a
Let's say right now, who's the better team?
Right this moment, I still, I think we have to consider the defense a lot more too. Mm-hmm. And this Texans defense probably not given enough credit for what it can do, especially when healthy. I'll be a homer. I'll say the Texans.
Yeah.
But it's close.
It's close.
And it's an indicator of just how much, you know, kind of good fortune also factors into all these things and the way your schedule lays out and those types of things. But yeah, the Texans, the Bengals fall, and some of the reason that they do is they get the game tying, or what could be a game tying touchdown late in that game, and they opt, instead of going kicking the field goal, they opt to go for two. They aren't able to get it. I know there's a lot of consternation about a potential face mask that could happen on that play, mm-hmm. or a potential defensive holding that happens away from the where the play is ultimately made on tight end Mike Gesicki. For you, in your perspective, was the decision to go for two a smart one from Zach Taylor?
All day, every day. That was the absolute right thing to do. Are you paying attention, Buccaneers? Are you paying attention? Because that's what did I say just yesterday? You go for two on the road, go for the tie at home. They did the right thing, and if the referees would have pulled their heads twice, they could have easily won that game. Like, those were two of the worst calls. Like, it was a punch to the face, open-handed, whatever, slap to the face of Joe Burrow. That gets caught. If that was Patrick Mahomes, dude would have been suspended. I mean, the dude would have been suspended. And if that was Patrick Mahomes' receiver, it would have been ball game.
If we will allow analytics to further permeate the game in a way that I know people are already upset about, when it comes to the win percentage on the decisions, either kicking the point after touchdown or going for two, technically, by a slim margin of 2%, the higher win percentage move was kicking the extra point, especially because the idea being the way that the Ravens had moved the ball. Mm-hmm. Lamar Jackson in the final, let me see what the numbers were again, on third down just in the second half, 7-7, 133 passing yards, 19 yards per pass attempt, 3 passing touchdowns, perfect pass rating. That's third down, and considering that they scored on their final 4 drives, like the idea that they would get the football back with 2 timeouts, an opportunity to be aggressive just to get themselves into field goal range, I think also affected this. I couldn't be mad at the decision to go for two. It felt like stopping Lamar Jackson was a tough situation. Mm-hmm. Playing for the opportunity to go to overtime and maybe getting the coin flip, because again, Cincinnati's defense wasn't stopping no Ravens on that night. Like, I just, especially after halftime, it just felt like, hey, give yourself one good play with an offense of this caliber, you just kind of didn't get it.
I just feel like this is where you use the analytics as a guide, but not a rule. Because, you know, okay, maybe they kick a field goal, they move it down there quickly, but you really, what you're doing is, like, you're watching the game, you're like, I don't want to leave this to a coin flip. I do not want to leave this to a coin flip.
On the road, mind you,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, and on the road especially. So, no, I get the analytics. I'm not anti-analytics. But I think at some point you go, hold on, let's take a step back from this. I know what I'm looking at over here, and we got
to
go for two.
I think it worked out pretty good, too, because yeah. You could go to bed early, man.
Yeah,
you can't worry about
that.
No overtime.
There is that.
Like, let's decide the game right now.
Yeah.
Derrick Henry only had 68 yards in this one. Had a touchdown. But what did show up, Lamar Jackson, 290 yards, 4 touchdowns. And it just feels like the quality watching the game of him as a passer looks so much better now.
Mm-hmm.
Although I will say, how do you feel comparatively about this team versus the Ravens? Because one of the things that the Ravens do a lot, it feels like there's a lot of, like, kind of lack of discipline. Like, there's a lot of just kind of
freelance,
rough maybe around
not,
the edges.
Maybe not lack of discipline. Oh, you're talking about, like, even defensively lack of discipline.
All the way around the team.
Maybe. I just think when you watch Lamar Jackson run an offense, it's not lack of discipline. It's just like, let's play ball.
Well,
you know,
they had various things and points. They had penalties that they just have overcome because Lamar Jackson on third down was really good in this. It does feel like they have hit their stride. But again, even in the game where both these teams played really well, put up 34 and 35 points respectively when it comes to the Bengals and the Ravens, they still both look like they are not infallible.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like with the vibes that I'm feeling off of Nico Collins returning, I think that if you get some things right offensively, you can be right back along with these teams, but you got to show it on Sunday.
Oh, there's been a mood swing in this studio. I'm sure there's been a mood swing in Houston as well as it comes to Sunday's game.
Let's test that out. That's around the NFL. That's brought to you by Quick Assist. Coming up next, when it comes down to, this will be the second game that you really and truly have Nico Collins mm-hmm. and Joe Mixon playing fully together. What is the expectation there? How are we feeling now that Nico Collins will return and play for your Texans? We'll discuss it next.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
Yeah, happy Football Friday to you, and happy indeed as we got a really good boost, a nice shot in the arm that should help your Houston Texans. And that's that Nico Collins has been designated for return from the IR. And he is indeed practicing as the rest of your Texans are in their battle red helmets on the field in NRG Stadium to get ready for Sunday Night Football versus the Detroit Lions. So for the first time since week one versus the Colts in Indy, you'll have Nico Collins on the field as well as Joe Mixon. I'm really interested in what does that mean for this Texas team going into what should be the biggest fight, the biggest battle that they're facing on the season thus far?
I think on the field, off the field, I mean, just a game changer, you know, literally on the field, because everybody's role is going to be, you know, better suited for success, starting with Tank and Joe Mixon and going down the line. He stretches the field. Which is one of the few weak spots for a Detroit Lions defense. And then off the field, like I'm looking at video right now, live or relatively live, posted from practice. I mean, the players are dancing. Nico's leading the charge. You know, it's just loose. It's you
know, talk about having fun at work.
Yeah, they're having some fun at work. And Nico is leading the charge. So, like, don't underestimate that by any stretch, you know, that he's. You know, he's bolstering this team on the field, off the field, just approach everything.
Well, okay, I should make sure that I don't put this or I don't sell this as an absolute, because we still do have priors on DeMeco Ryans and his operation. In fact, he was asked explicitly about kind of how he operates with the 50-50 kind of feeling with players dealing with injury, how they come back. And he operates with caution. We've seen that oftentimes. Where guys will come back and practice on a Friday and not
play. Was it Jimmy Ward?
Jimmy Ward did. Yeah. I think Toe kind of had something similar as well with his concussion, where, you know, he practiced one day and coming back from the concussion protocol and then ultimately did not practice the next.
Yeah.
Right. So I guess I can't say with absolute certainty that Nico Collins will play on Sunday, but this does feel like one of those. I don't know necessarily why you return, designate him for return. If not, well, I guess the idea would be he gets to practice today and that is worth something. But I would be kind of shocked if he didn't play.
Shocked. No, I'd be absolutely shocked just because, you know, they made the corresponding move. He's activated. I mean, just looking at him, that doesn't look like a guy that's hurting in any way, for sure.
But again, caution, right? Like, there's been instances where you see guys, and you're like, I don't know if they're hurting either, that DeMeco Ryans is not, you know, wanted to pull the trigger because he is. He's a player's coach in that he knows he's been there. Mm-hmm. He understands that, and he wants to. You could tell there's a genuine love for his players and a will to protect them from returning too early and really doing more damage. And I think that really is a caution that you need to have with this team, and particularly with Nico Collins, right? Nico Collins, the reason why the vibe has changed so much is because of what he means to this team and what he can mean to this team. And doing that just for this one game versus the Detroit Lions, yes, it's a big game, but it is one game. I don't even know, as you're trying to get to the place that you want to, right, trying to get to 10 or 11 wins, that this one is one of those ones that you would have counted anyways, right? And I say that not without a competitive spirit, but I think you know what I'm getting to is the idea of, hey, if you get him back for this game and he re-aggravates a hamstring, that's a lot worse than, you know, not having him and maybe not looking your absolute best against the Lions, but then getting him back for the remainder of the season to where he can help you go further.
You're absolutely right. But the offensive line got better, you know, even just by default, you know.
You think so?
Yeah, I do. Mm-hmm. Simply because, like, as I said in the last segment, even if you're just, like, average with those weapons and C.J. Stroud, clearly, you know, with an approach of, you know, get the ball out quicker, maybe he's not going to be rattled as much and miss throws as much. No, it's better across the board. Now, to be fair, Will Anderson is still not practicing today. Jake Hansen, Damian Pierce, and Foley Fatakasi are still not practicing. Those are key elements, but boy, you'd trade Nico for all of them? Maybe not Will Anderson, but for pretty much for all of them at this point in this game.
I think so.
Yeah.
And so if you do get both Nico Collins and Joe Mixon on the field together, what do you think that shifts? Like, I do hope that would get you into fewer third and longs. C.J. Stroud has had the most snaps of any quarterback in that third and long situation this season. And it feels like the times where you were able to make things shake out of that and maybe, like, escape by the hair on your chinny chin chin behind the third and longs was because you had Nico Collins there, and not just his, you know, the pure ability that he had, but also, like, the good sense that he had to kind of find soft spots and zones or find the spaces, get his head back at C.J. Stroud and give him an option of a place to go when he's had to move or when he's needed to get the ball out. And I think that getting all of those things back will help greatly in getting keeping yourself out of third and longs, but then also converting third and longs and keeping drives going.
And then there's the part, all that, but there's also the part of with C.J. Stroud, you know, the confidence of I'm going to throw it to that guy. Because, you know, he's got the bigger body. He knows how to leverage himself against DBs. I like my chances with Nico Collins on a 50-50 ball. It becomes maybe 60-40 or 70-30.
There's a lot more options than that. This Detroit Lions team likes using man.
Yeah, and so that's why, you know, the confidence level. You know, we entered this segment talking about, you know, there's been a mood swing. You know, and where do you fall? You know, obviously, you know, I want to hear from the listeners as well. 713-572-4610 and you know, Twitch and YouTube, but the mood swing is real, and the reason I say that is you can see it on the field today as much as anything,
as evidenced by this text that said, "Warning: a pants tent may happen, so I'm staying seated." Okay, very good. I appreciate that.
Okay,
someone did ask from the 832. Any chance that watching Jamar Chase ball out on national TV lit a fire under Nico to get back? No chance in hell.
None.
And I understand what you're going for, right? Like, Nico Collins, competitor, wants the opportunity to go out there and produce at a high level. I mean, he was leading the league in reception yards for a good long period, even after he went on the IR. That man's been chopping on the bit to get back on the field since the instant that injury happened. Like, that guy has not been happy with this at all. Like, he's wanted to get back on this field to begin with. So I think that independent of any other players, and I imagine, right, and this is now me speculating, but with any of these dudes in the competition that they have, especially with the way that the offense kind of has had a little bit of struggles, I'm sure that he's looking at, like, I can help that.
Yeah.
Just let me get out there. And it looks like he might have the opportunity to do that this weekend.
And, you know, you mentioned, you know, how D'Amico tends to err to the side of caution on all these. Maybe putting him on the IR was the caution, you know, because maybe he would have wanted to return sooner, you know, based on what you're talking about there and what we know about Nico.
Yeah, but that feels like once you get off of the 4 weeks of mandatory IR, if it's the caution that he returns immediately after that, and he didn't. So
I understand that. No, I understand that. But what I'm saying is they're like, we're taking it out of your hands,
sure.
And then they're even more, you know, careful with everything, and they're like, okay, he's good, you know, he's good, and they were just keeping him out of the Wednesday and Thursday practices as even more of a, like, he's good, but let's not try to push anything here.
If I can force you to give me an arbitrary number, because sometimes these things are funny, what's the percent change in like your expectations or your excitement for this game now with this news that Nico Collins has been designated for return from IR?
Yeah, I would say if I had to, you know, put a number on it this morning when we walked into studio, I was giving the Texans maybe about a 20% chance to win this game.
Okay.
You know, a lot of things having to go right. I think one of the things that had to go right just happened, you know, with Nico Collins. So I'm going to say 45.
Ooh, okay. I was going to 40.
Yeah.
Yeah.
45? Figgy?
Yeah, I would say closer to 40.
The Lions are the better team with or without Nico. They proved it on the field, right? But Nico sure does give you a better chance.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
The question I've been asking myself is, in all of this, the excitement level of the difference that this feels like it makes, am I putting too much on Nico Collins as an individual, because I know that he did a lot of that, and it felt like he was carrying so much, an inordinate amount of the offense early on in the season. Is that a reasonable expectation to have for him coming off of an injury, that he immediately comes in and carries that kind of weight for this offense?
See, I don't think it's pressure on him individually. There is some, of course, but I think the fact that he's going to be on the field just helps everybody around him.
You know, the offensive line.
The line, the, you know, Mixon, you know, the other receivers, tight end. Like, yes, you know, you have a certain expectation for Nico, but I'm not sitting here going, oh, Nico's back, he's going to catch 11 balls for 180 yards. No, I think the fact that he's back is what gives me the optimism elsewhere, because I frankly didn't know if Tank Dell was going to be able to carry the load as the number one wide receiver. Now he doesn't have to.
Yeah, and you got to imagine that with the amount of focus. And I do wonder how much that this news coming now, not saying that you know, Ben Johnson and the rest of the offensive kind of staff for the Lions weren't considering this as a possibility, but you do wonder if this puts them in scramble mode at all, where they have to really adjust the game plan that they were working on to account for Nico Collins probably being back on Sunday night.
I don't know how much, really. I think they're going to prepare for Nico either way.
Okay.
Because he was, you know, somewhat discussed as a guy that could come back. I don't know. Maybe a little bit, but I think most NFL teams, they're going to have every what if.
All right, so no gamesmanship here then.
Yeah, they're going to have what if covered.
All right, just figured I'd ask. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Of course, the news that has us buzzing, Nico Collins designated for return from IR. And so it feels a lot more likely, as he is practicing today on a Friday at NRG Stadium, that he likely will play on Sunday. We'll see if we get like a solid answer in that way after practice from the Texans. All right, coming up next, let's get into what's popping, including a move from your Rockets and their Rockets playing tonight. We'll talk about that more next.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Poppin'.
All right, let's get into What's Poppin' here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. Sorry to sound like a broken record, but it's a big deal. Nico Collins, wide receiver for your Houston Texans.
Keep playing that, man. Play the hits.
Has been designated for return.
Guys ain't talking about the Dynamo. You never talk about the Dynamo.
This is fast becoming one of my favorite things Figgy does.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, the Dynamo are out of the MLS Cup playoffs, so there's not much to talk about in that space. But there is a lot to talk about with your Texans that you're going to face off against the Lions on Sunday. And Nico Collins has been designated for return, and he did practice, or he is at practice today. I will say, right, I think that we both have a lot of hope that he plays on Sunday. The people in the media corps are still reminding us that, hey, man, this is a possibility that he does not play, right? The idea that, hey, remember that there's only been two players that have only practiced on a Friday and then still played on that upcoming Sunday. Foley Fatukasi, one of those guys. However, it just feels like the possibility of Nico doing that, because of the outside stature that he feels like he has on this team, particularly for this offense, would be big. But Nico Collins, not just at practice, but also bringing the vibes at practice, clearly enjoying being amongst the guys and practicing today. It seems like that's a big part of this, too.
No, it is. And it's the vibe. It's the trickle down, as we talked about. And Seth Payne, you know, tweeted this, and I should have mentioned it myself. Bobby Slowick became a better play caller. You know, Bobby Slowick became a better play caller with Nico returning. So it's good all around. It's not going to solve all your issues, but it's good all around.
Yeah, and so we'll see ultimately if he plays. We'll see if maybe we get a little bit of insight into what the decision making process was with this. If it was just to get him back, get him practicing, and you know, he'll get him some more practice under his belt before he ultimately plays in week 11, or if maybe we see number 12 back on the field for your Texans this weekend. It'd be really helpful. It'd be really nice to see. All right, some other things that are popping. The Houston Rockets. Cam Whitmore has been a very fascinating player for this Rockets team, but he hasn't gotten a lot of minutes on this team early on in the season, and so he has been assigned to the Rio Grande Valley Vipers, the G League affiliate for the Rockets. How did you feel seeing that, you know, Cam Whitmore just going to get some minutes on the G League team?
I think this is probably best for him, right? I was actually preseason, which I normally don't watch, but you made me.
You're welcome.
During preseason, I was like, you know what? There might be something there. I think he could be. Look, Cam Whitmore is an NBA player for sure. I feel. But this is going to be good for him. You know, I mean, with a deep rotation, by the way, with the Rockets, it's just hard to get those minutes. What he needs is minutes, and he's going to get them.
Yeah, it absolutely needs minutes. I mean, that does not preclude him from, like, you know, being with the big league club
exactly.
from time to time. Or, I mean, even very soon here, but just getting him some minutes, especially as it feels like you've really solidified a seven, like the seven, top seven in your rotation.
And it goes further than that in some games, you know.
Oh, no, it's absolutely going to go further, but
yeah,
because you also add whoever the backup center is that you're playing in that
right.
moment. But, like,
right.
the top seven feel like, okay, these are the guys that are going to play a lot,
mm-hmm.
Which is Fred VanVleet, Jalen Green, and then also Dylan Brooks, Jabari Smith, Alperen Şengün, and then off the bench, Amen Thompson and Tari Eason. Feel like those guys are pretty solidified
mm-hmm.
as parts of your rotation. It's still early. Things can shift and change, but early on, it feels like those guys are there. Then you have some mix of either Steven Adams or Jock Landale,
Reed
depending
Shepard.
On who's there. Reed is getting a few minutes in there as mm-hmm. well. Like, that feels like that ends up being a
so
majority
that tells
of your
you
rotation.
Cam needs to get more minutes somewhere else.
100%.
Yeah.
And I saw people kind of talking about the possibility that this was a decision between either Reed or Cam to go down and get some minutes.
He should want to, right?
And they go with Cam. I think so.
I mean, obviously you always want to stay in the NBA, but,
right.
but he should want to in terms of long-term success.
Yeah, and you're right, 832 on the 5-Hour Energy fan line. Seven players in double figures against the Spurs was such a promising thing.
Mm-hmm.
Rockets have a great young squad. They really do, and they have a lot of players. And this is one of the kind of, downsides, if you can call it that, about having so many young, talented players. You have to find ways to get them minutes. And so I think this is obviously a way to get him more opportunity to play basketball. Otherwise, he wouldn't get very many minutes right now. Even if he did get some minutes sporadically, sparingly, keep him fresh, keep him going, keep him ready to impact what's happening with the team. Now, the team itself is going to be in they're going to be in Oklahoma City tonight against a very good Oklahoma City Thunder team. And we talk about kind of starting to find yourself, starting to feel yourself. Like, this is one of those measuring stick games against a team that is really good. I know that the Rockets currently sitting in a playoff position. It's way too early to kind of view it that way, but that's what their goal is, to be a playoff team. This will be something that gives you a little idea of how far along they are in this learning process of the season.
That's the squad you're playing tonight, and it's got a great talent with Chet Holmgren. It's got a pretty deep squad itself. Great early test, but the Rockets can't ask for anything more than what they've given. Even though, like you said, 5-3, it's hard to read a lot in the number four seed, but terrific, terrific chance to get. You should be plugged in on this one.
100%. Now, another G League, another player going to the G League,
mm-hmm.
Bronny James. He scored his points. He played with his pops at the NBA level. Now he will play with the G League, with the South Bay Lakers. He's going to make his debut on Saturday. You have a question about this.
Are we going to see him in the NBA again ever?
Ever is heavy. I say yes on ever. Soon? I don't know.
Figgy?
I think we'll see him in the NBA again. Now, is he hitting the floor? Is he going to get some minutes? That's a whole nother question. But he will be on the NBA floor, on at least dressed up on the bench at some point.
I don't know. I was the one that said, you know, hey, this is just a stunt. But once it happened, I was like, that's pretty cool. You know, it was pretty cool to see, he and LeBron.
It was really cool
for him
to go back to Cleveland, too.
But you know what I just said
about his first point?
Exactly. What I just said about Whitmore, that's an NBA player that just needs minutes. I'm not sure Bronny's an NBA player.
Yeah, he needs some development.
Yeah.
But that was something that was the question as to what do you stay in college and get more development? If he does give development, there can be a place for him, but I think that he has a lot of developing to do. And so being with the G League team, ostensibly your development area, would be good. The only thing that I look at, especially with these Lakers, they already have Anthony Davis dealing with like a nagging foot injury and that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So do they get to a place where, oddly enough, they might be out of it enough to where it's like, hey, give the young guy a little bit more time.
That would be
I think that will happen
at some point later in the season.
LeBron will say, come on. It'll be a LeBron thing more than anything.
Yeah, I feel like J.J.
Bring it back up here.
I feel like J.J. Redick losing his mind already.
Well, yeah. J.J. Redick doesn't have much time for nonsense shenanigans, and he might need to make a little time because the NBA is a relatively long season, and they got plenty of nonsense shenanigans. That's one thing I can't tell.
Yeah.
Back to the National Football League at long last. Christian McCaffrey.
How about that?
Will return to the field for the Niners this weekend, and everywhere fantasy football team owners rejoice.
He was the number one overall pick in most fantasy leagues, so I know a lot of fantasy football coaches, managers, whatever, are really, really happy. Let's talk about what it means in the NFL, though. I think the Niners all of a sudden got to be feeling really good about just getting in the postseason and making some noise, as they are often want to do, because they still have four division games left. You know, the Niners still have four division games left. They've only played two. And the Cardinals and Rams, I believe, are 5-4 and 4-4. So
that's correct.
It's not out of reach by any stretch. That's the perfect example of a team that just get us in the playoffs, just get us in the postseason, and good things are going to happen.
Yeah, because and this is not by any means the end all be all, but point differential on the season. The only team with a positive point differential in that NFC West is the San Francisco 49ers.
Right.
They happen to be 4-4 right now. Mm-hmm. Injuries playing some role in that. And so you get Christian McCaffrey back. You hope that the play starts to, or the wins and losses starts to match the play a little bit more with at least the point differential in the ways that they play. But yeah, that's a tough division in there that, you know, people look at the Rams and they say that they have an opportunity to win in Super Bowl too. And so they're beating up on each other, and you're right. I think also the idea that you have a lot of division games still coming up for the Niners makes it imperative that you have your best foot forward. But I guess in general, you always want to have your best foot forward. And the amount that they gave up for Christian McCaffrey when they traded for him, and just how much he means to the baseline of these Shanahan offenses, right? Like, the running game matters in such a good way. And the running game is entirely different with Christian McCaffrey.
No, hugely different. And if you go back and remember the Rams game, which the Rams came back to win, the Niners were really in control of that game big time, and that was without McCaffrey. So they got to be feeling pretty good about themselves there. That doesn't mean it's a gimme, but they certainly have the path.
Absolutely. Yeah. Some other things we mentioned that Trevor Lawrence unlikely to play this weekend versus the Vikings. How did you feel about this? I know that the Mets have a sit down with Juan Soto, and it feels like they're really aggressively pursuing him. Doesn't it feel like the Juan Soto pursuit has kind of kept the Yankees occupied? And I understand, man. This is not how it works. Everybody has, you know, can kind of walk and chew gum at the same time and do multiple things. But it kind of feels like the Yankees have kind of been occupied with Juan Soto to a point where maybe that keeps them away from doing all the bidding on Alex Bregman. Do you kind of hope that one's just out there for a while in order to give the Astros a little bit more time
that
to work?
That ain't going to happen.
No?
Okay. That ain't going
to
happen.
I'm trying to get all the hope in my can.
We can fingers crossed.
There's a lot of fingers crossed up here.
We can finger. Oh, yeah. We forgot about Alex Bregman. I don't think that's going to happen. That's right. He's available, isn't he? No. I could see him. I think the Yankees might be the biggest threat, to be honest, for Alex Bregman. You know, Scott Boras is not bashful about, you know, he plays second base. He can play second base. That's going to give him a lot of options, and that's going to give him get him paid.
Maybe he would not necessarily believe in Aaron Boone. Aaron Boone is going to...
He got his re-up, right?
He got his re-up for the New York Yankees. You think that's a good move for them? I know that Aaron Boone has caught a lot of strays, criticism for his management style up there for the Yankees.
I mean, what was the last game they played in the World Series? I mean, you know.
Yeah, fair enough. That was
the first time he got to a World Series,
too. No, that's fair, and Yankees fans are quite demanding. Yeah,
if he didn't get to that World Series, he probably would be out. I would consider firing him.
I would tend to agree, but boy, that's a tough thing. You know, you get to the World Series, you look bad, but you get to the World Series and you fire your manager or don't re-up.
Yeah, that's one of those things you just can't do.
Can't do it.
Regardless if you kind of want to.
Yeah, can't do it.
And just to reiterate, Nico Collins, designated for return, practice today.
Mood swing. Yep. Mood swing, yep. Friday.
Yep. Yeah. Football Friday gets that much better when you hear that at least Nico Collins on the road to recovery. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. What are the matchups you're most interested in this Texans-Lions game, especially with the news that Nico Collins could play on Sunday? We'll talk about that next.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.